We've been talking about John B. Wright. Totally frustrated. Because you're going to attract all, just to teach you the lesson that that's not true, the universe is going to send you everybody that won't do what you say the way you want it. Deep.
It's not fun to go through either.
Those are the coolest people in your life is the ones who won't let you control them.
Because they're
the ones that's teaching you the truth. The ones who always give in to what you want because you make them feel guilty or bad, they're not helping you spiritually at all. They're convincing you that the key to happiness is trying to control everybody around you. That's not helpful. I mean, it might feel good in the moment when it looks like they're doing what you want them to do, but they're also helping you fall into the illusion that you have some control over them that you don't have. Then when they snatch it away from you, you feel devastated. All of a sudden, you don't mean what you thought you meant. Or they take back the feelings that they said they had for you. I mean, you all, you know, or you tell them to do something instead of them doing it, they go, hey, go to hell. You know, you go, you got your mind tilt, smoke come out your head, you know, because you tripped out. Because you're used to them giving you power because they were receiving what they wanted out of the relationship, too. Sure. That's why they were doing it. So I try to remember that now. Every time I meet somebody, that their love is a gift. When I look at it that way, it kind of keeps me on it more. Their love is a gift.
In whatever form they give it.
And since it's a gift, then it means I got to understand that it's not something I really got a control over. That I need to be appreciating it. I love this stuff. I think the Course in Miracles is purposely written in a hard way to read so that we won't speed read it. So that you really have to think about it.
I really do.
I believe whatever man was behind this book wrote it exactly the way it wrote it for a reason. You know, I really do. No man that could be as intelligent enough to create this book would not have been smart enough to know how we was going to react to the way that it's written.
If it was too blunt, we wouldn't be able to handle it anyway.
And the trip is, it's so blunt, we don't even see what it's saying.
That was blunt with 1,200 pages.
Yeah, it's like 1,200 pages of bluntness. Yeah. You know, because I'm really messed up. I read 1,200 pages of the same thing over and over again, so maybe one day I'll do one thing instead. it's so funny. Okay, let me see, where did we leave off?
It's not said.
I tell you, that's right. I tell you, let's see. Okay, da 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 da. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Okay. Alright, good. So here and be repeated on page 22. So heal and be repeated, the question really answers itself. You cannot repeat healing. If you've really been healed, what remains to heal you from? So healing can't be repeated, because if you've been healed, why does it need to be repeated? So if the healing is certain, as we already said, real healing is, what is there to repeat? For you to remain concerned about the result of the healing limits the healing. So every time I get concerned about the result of the help, then I'm limiting the help. But once I get concerned about the result of my love, I'm limiting the love. So the minute you become concerned about the result, then it's you that need to let your mind be healed, because now you are the patient. So as soon as I become concerned about the result of my trying to help or heal, then I should stop trying to heal the other person, because now I've become the patient. Who knows what I just said? Anybody?
Yeah, but I don't know why.
But you don't know why.
Yeah, you, right?
What it is, if we can bring it back out, then we kind of know we got it. You know what I'm saying? So I always invite people to just see if they could sit back what they just heard. so that they can really get it.
Can you say again?
Yeah. Okay. It's a trip. It's that if I am concerned about the result of trying to help to heal, like you're a person with a problem and I'm trying to help you. Well, if I try to help you and then I become concerned about the result of me trying to help you, whether or not you're going to use what I've given you, then I should consider myself as now being the one who needs help. Because now I'm the patient. I'm the one that's doing it wrong. So that's why I wouldn't keep on trying to heal you, because I'm the one. I'm just as sick as you are. Got it? If I'm concerned about the result of giving to a person that I think is sick or needs help, then I am just as sick as the person I'm trying to help.
What about that idea that the best way to learn something is to teach it, though?
What we want to remember right now, though, if you remain concerned about the result of a healing, you're limiting the healing.
Does that work for yourself? Does that work for yourself?
If you're concerned about the result of trying to help yourself?
If I'm trying to heal myself, but mm-hmm. I'm concerned she is not working.
Then you need to consider yourself as the one who needs help.
Got it.
Yeah. See, I'm going to tell you, the secret to getting these ideas in any particular section of the course is as much as you can try to focus on just what that section is saying. Because what the ego does, the Course says, what happens is that when your ego becomes threatened by something that the Course says, that it looks for paradoxes and contradictions. And so your mind immediately come up with something, like you just said, something that you heard from the Course that sound like it was opposite to what you just heard. And the Course is saying, when that happens, that's your way of knowing you become afraid of the goal. For instance, in other words, I still want to remain concerned about healing and then still think that I'm the one, I'm really helping somebody. I want to believe that my concern is good. So I'm actually afraid to believe that concern is not good. Oh, got it? So since I'm afraid to believe that concern isn't good, because you know, if you're a good person, what are you? Concerned. Okay, so if I'm afraid that the Course is telling me to be concerned is not okay, then I'm going to have to introduce a contradiction to that idea to keep me from using it. I'm going to have to try to make that idea seem like it doesn't make sense. And so the Course talks about the kind of psychology your ego is going to play on you as you hear it. And so sometimes when I want to say back to people what the Course is saying, when they ask a question or something, I feel afraid that they're going to think I'm attacking them in some way, or in some way they're going to feel offended. And so it's a real trip teaching the Course in that way, because you know that it's so easy for us to get defensive, all of us. You know what I'm saying? Like to say, yes, that is true. To teach is to learn. But in the context that we're reading this right now, if I'm trying to help somebody and I'm still concerned about it, then the truth is that's limiting the healing that I could give them. If I teach you something so that I can learn it, if I demonstrate something so that I can learn it, this is really cool. All right, check this out. This is just came to me from God. I ain't this smart. Matter of fact, I got to hurry up before I lose it. Okay. Okay. If I try to help him and then I'm still concerned about it, then I realize that means I must be the patient. I have just taught what I want to learn. So they really are not contradictory to each other when you see it another way. You know, you see what I'm saying? So I am teaching what I want to learn because I'm demonstrating it. I'm concerned about helping you. I need to see myself as the patient now. I need to be asking God to give me some help. Instead of trying to help you, I need to be opening myself up to help now. If I do that, then I just taught what I needed to learn. I just demonstrated what I needed to learn. That's the trip, to think that every time you do something, you're teaching. You know, that's deep. So he says, it's now the teacher of God whose mind needs to be healed, and it is this you must facilitate. You are now the patient. So you must regard yourself as the patient. You made a mistake. And when you make a mistake, this is what you must be willing to do. What? Change your mind about it. When you make a mistake, you change your mind about it. What is your mistake? You lack the trust that makes forgiving truly. And that's why you haven't received the benefit of your gift. So the mistake that we make is that I don't trust that when I help, I have helped. In other words, I don't trust. That's why I remain concerned about it after I give you the help. Because if I trusted God, if I trusted the truth, I wouldn't be concerned about whether or not you were going to be helped or you're going to be healed. So my mistake is my lack of trust. And so since I lack the trust, then I haven't received the benefit. What's the benefit of not doubting?
Certainty.
Certainty. You feel peaceful. And when you doubt, then you don't receive the benefit of the gift. If I doubt, if I'm trying to give you healing and I doubt, then I'm not receiving the benefit of the healing.
So concern is just another word for doubt.
Yeah, a concern is just another word for lack of faith and doubt. Concern is one of the most destructive emotions that we come up with. Yeah, everybody's concerned in the world going to hell in a handbasket. You know what I'm saying? Everybody tell you they're concerned about the homeless, they're concerned about the weather, they're concerned about inflation, they're concerned about people, they're concerned about you, they're concerned about... Well, everybody's concerned. And everybody, a darn thing changing. Concern don't mean nothing. I'm concerned about you. You are. I'm concerned about whether or not you're going to eat. Well, give me $10 to buy some food.
Exactly.
That would help. But yeah. I ain't that concerned. Okay, and that's one thing that happens to you on the spiritual path that a lot of people haven't talked about a lot in books. When you reach that point on the spiritual path where truly, truly you see that it's obvious who loves you and who doesn't. For real.
Mm-hmm.
None of that, I love you from 3,000 miles away, I'm with you in spirit. You know, all that stuff we said to each other, we ain't gonna do nothing. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about, just like I said, you're sitting at home and you're hungry. The person who brings you food is the one who's really helping you and loving you. The person who calls you up and says, I hear you. I know what you mean. But they don't do nothing. That's not the person that's helping you. The person that's helping you in any given moment is the person that's there. Not the person that's not there. The most important people in my life right now are you. A conscious being knows that. It's not my sister who's not here, my brother's not here, the other people that come to the class is not here. It's not, nobody else in the world is important to me right now as you. But my mind will have me thinking about people that's not here. Like if this building collapsed right now, it would be the people that was here that we'd be depending on first. It wouldn't be the people that wasn't here. All of a sudden, we'd be the most important people in the world to each other. It's like, it's so obvious. That's what I'm saying. The truth is so obvious. And so what I've been practicing doing is appreciating the people that are in my presence the most. And see what happens. Because they're the ones that matter in that moment. They are the ones who are there to bring me the message of hope and truth. That's why when we can communicate with each other, it's such a great gift. Even if we think what we're saying is wrong, or if we think it's different, or if we agree or disagree, it doesn't matter. We're here to deliver a message to each other. And whether or not we agree doesn't matter. You'd be amazed at how you let people tell you everything they need to tell you if you really don't care about what they say.
True.
You're going to make your choice about how you're going to deal with it. And so you let them say everything they need to say, and you stay calm, and you stay neutral, and you stay peaceful. You won't get mad. Because you know you're going to give what they say all the meaning it has. You know you have that much power available to you every moment of the day. That is, you kind of go, when you kind of get in touch with how much power you have over your peace, it's going to trip you out. It's going to trip you out. When you really get that no matter what somebody says to you, you're the one that's determining how you feel about it. Nobody is. There's no excuse for anybody ever hurting your feelings again the rest of your life. But what happens is you experience upset when someone says to you something that means the most to you. You see what I'm saying? It's like okay, I'm supposed to be the one choosing my feelings, but like if someone says nigger, see? If somebody says nigger,
that means something to me.
That's okay. That's my point. That's my whole point. The things that you react to that it looks like you don't have any control over, those are just the meanings that you've given the most, that are most emotionally charged. So that you see what I'm saying? It's like that word really doesn't have to mean anything other than. It was so tripped. I was like, I was at Cinco de Mayo the other day. And so, you know, growing up in the South, a nigga was such a charged word. You know, it's like you said, it's like it was ridiculous when I was growing up. You know, it's like a trip, okay? Then, so in the songs over the last few years, the rapper songs and all these popular songs, they say it all the time. This generation of kids did not grow up in the segregation kind of stuff that I grew up in, right? So the word doesn't have the same meaning to them like it does to anybody that grew up at the time, which is just a perfect example of what the court is saying. So I was walking by these two Latino guys or whatever, and they were kind of, you know, they said, yeah, nigga. You know what I'm saying? It's like they said that to each other. And they weren't even black. You know what I'm saying? I heard some white guys do the same thing. I'm like going, see, that's when you know the word doesn't mean anything.
But
what I'm saying.
It's a term of endearment almost.
It's a term of endearment from African American guys to African American guys. You know, you hear it all the time. You know, you my nigga. You know what I'm saying? Right. You my dog or whatever. That's what I'm saying. That the course is really, it's so practical to me. Because it really, really, really teaches you that you give everything all the meaning that it has for you. So therefore, I don't have to react to that word at any kind of level that gives it any kind of power. But it might take longer for that word than some other word because of how much energy and time and emotion I can put in it. So those emotions and feelings that look like the overwhelming that you can't control are just the image, the meanings that you have invested in the longest. So you should be understanding with yourself while you're learning how to take away the meaning from those and not beat yourself up when you still get mad or not beat yourself up when you get triggered. Because that's just a deep-seated meaning that you have had for a long, long time. And it won't take you as long to undo it as it took you to build it up. And that's what you have to realize. That, yeah, you're going to have to go through a process of letting go of the meaning of that, but it's not going to take as long as it did for you to give that all its meaning. What are you getting ready to say?
Okay, using that example, I know it can be used as a term of endearment, and in this culture it is. But if somebody were to say that to you in a hurtful way, that would hurt me. I mean, regardless of how I mean, they're not saying it to me, but I would be sad.
But the point of the lesson, though, is that for you to remember that whatever your reaction is, that's still the meaning that you're giving it. You're giving it the meaning that says you should feel sad about someone saying it to me. That's still you giving it that meaning. Right. So remember what I'm saying is, basically neutral, and that's the trickier thing about the course, is that I'm not saying that word is good or bad. To some people it's good, to some people it's bad. I don't deny that. What the truth is trying to help us see is that we're the ones that's giving it the meaning, whatever it is. And then each one of us personally will get into whether or not that's an okay word to say or a word that makes us feel jealous or angry or sad. That's us doing that individually as far as meaning. But the thing that releases us is knowing that we're the one that's giving it the interpretation. That's the spiritual freedom that we're trying to get to.
What's the spiritual freedom response to someone being hurt?
Whatever you've learned about how to respond. I see things as just, it's either I'm looking at love or I'm looking at a call for love. I mean, that's the way I attempt to see everything. It's either love coming at me or a big old call for love coming at me. So I still may feel any kind of feeling. The feeling might be a feeling I would have called anger, I would have called jealousy, I would have called upset, depression. But what I've done with all of it is try to put it under the umbrella of it's a call for love. So even if I feel guilty, I say, oh, that's my call for love. If I'm mad, oh, that's my call for love. See what I'm saying? It don't matter what the emotion is. If you put it under the umbrella of a call for love, then eventually your mind will start creating love back for you no matter what you feel, because everything you feel is a call for love. So the universe is going to give you back what you're calling for. That's the advantage of... See, sometimes people think that seeing something as a call for love means they got to feel like they feel compassion and love. And that's the trick. That's the trick. Because if you're feeling compassion, you're already feeling love. So that's not a call for love. You're actually expressing love. Right? So really a call for love is just all of the negative emotions and feelings that we have that we feel guilty about. That's our call for love. So if I hate my mama, I feel that hate. But that hate is what? My call for love. If I feel guilty about what I did last night, that's my call for love. You see what I'm saying? So that way I don't have to pretend like I don't feel the feeling and get into repression. I just have to redefine the feeling. I just have to redefine the feeling. Okay, what is guilt? It's a call for love. I'm really mad at my boss today. Because I see people pop out of the course because it seems like an impossible learning task. It seems like it's greater than what they can do. And so they drop it. You know, because they can't not go all day and feel peace about everything that happens all day long. And they feel like if they can't do that, they're somehow failing in their curriculum. And the course is saying, no, what you're supposed to be doing is feeling all the things you feel all the time, but just now give it a whole different interpretation. So go ahead and feel your anger and feel your insecurity and feel your depression and feel your upset, but see it as a call for help. It's a call for love. Man. I love how this book triggers thoughts from other parts of the book and pulls it together. Anybody else got any questions or comments before we go to the next paragraph that's even deeper?
Can I take a break?
Yeah, we can take a break. Anybody knowing a good gossip? Take a break. Messi got good on TV last night. Law and Order SUV was good last night. The last episode of Third Watch, too. Sometimes I take vacation into meaninglessness, and that's what I call watching TV or whatever. I do. I purposely do it. I'll be focused on the truth so much that I go, I got to have something meaningless, and then I go turn on a TV show.
That's why I watch.
Right. I don't fight it. Now it's a vacation. It's like, I can go to total mindlessness, a total Zen state, because everything I'm about to look at is totally mindless. My mind doesn't even get engaged. I just watch all the nice colors. Yeah. People running around, cars, passing, whatever. You know, so I took my judgment off of TV. You know, because I got like a spiritual snob. You know, it's like, you mean you still look at TV? You see people do that. You eat a hot dog?
Yeah.
You can't be enlightened. You hate the rib. You know, it's like, yeah, I know. I mean, I know show did go. You know, I eat anything I want to. It's called freedom. It's funny. I love Boulder. I love some of my best friends stay in Boulder. I always meet people in Boulder that just click instantly. And most of the people in Boulder think of themselves as free and progressive. I never seen a city with so many rules for everything, just like anybody. Any other city you go to, you can't smoke on the porch, and you can't do this, and you got to do that, and you got to recite. You know, it's like, they just like everybody else. They got a bunch of rules that they think is best for everybody to live by, which is just like, that's like here. But it's funny, but when we make up our rules better than everybody else's rules, you know what I'm saying? Ours are the rules of liberation. You know, and so it's funny to watch how the Course says, everything is not different. Everything is the same looking different. Everything is the same thing looking different. We all men looking different. And then we're spirits looking like men looking different. We're really spirits. We're really not bodies. That's really a trip. And we got pleasure and pain to prove it. How do I prove to myself I'm a body? Through pleasure or pain. Why do you all think that the Course in Miracles can be scary to people?
We have to change your mind about everything we ever thought.
That's a big, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? I mean, like even from your own experience, even from talking to people, what is it you think that scares people the most about really getting into the Course in Miracles?
If you realize it's your interpretation and not everybody else attacking you, then it's actually here. And
it's
not
your
there.
Responsibility.
Exactly.
Personal accountability is the bottom line.
Yep.
That's fun. That's fun to have.
You have to give up your. You have to give up your role as victim.
Yep.
Like you said that one time about the mask.
Yeah.
I'm such a nice person, but everybody treats me like crap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so spiritual, but everybody's mean to me. You have to give that up. You have to see. You know.
Isn't it a trip how the consensus of the group was primarily about accountability and responsibility? So could we? Couldn't we agree then that there are just basically two kinds of minds? Those that accept responsibility and accountability and those who don't? And that we are in the in-between world. Y'all know that? We're in the in-between world. We're in the in-between world. The in-between world is where it looks like you're accountable for some things and you're not for others. How y'all, that's an in-between world? It sure looks like it, don't it? Yeah, it looks like, well, I know the Course says I'm responsible, but not that. Now that's where I'm not responsible for how I'm feeling about this. This is beyond me, you know what I'm saying? So would you agree that at first it kind of looks like you're totally in the world of total victim? That when you're completely unconscious, you're like totally a victim. Everything is happening to you. You don't have nothing to do with it. You're just trying to fend it all as best as you possibly can. Right? Y'all remember that world? For yourself? You remember when you were there? Can you remember how it felt? Who can tell me how that felt? Can I remember? Sometimes I have to like really go back and try to remember how I felt when I was totally unconscious.
Alone.
Felt alone a lot, didn't you? When I was completely unconscious, I felt it's like the world seemed much realer than it does now. It was weird. It's like the trees looked realer, the ground looked realer, everything looked realer to me. And I felt like so much of my happiness came from pleasing. Somehow pleasing others that had more power than me, that looked like they had some control. And I had to try to please them some kind of way. Whether it was my teacher, whether somebody was going to try to get a job, whether it was my boss not firing me. You know, it's like everything, okay. And everybody was blaming everybody else. And it was always somebody else's fault but mine. I remember that vaguely. So I was angry a lot. But I was nice because I wanted to be taken care of. So I acted like I was nice. But I really was pissed off. Okay. Y'all saying what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then I started to wake up into the truth and started to hear stuff like my thoughts are creative and then I'm responsible and then then it seemed like some of the things that happened to me I was totally responsible for, but it still seemed like it was a bunch of stuff happening that was out of my hands.
Yeah.
That's the in-between world, right? So then we move to the next level. And the next level is remembering that you are responsible for all of it.
We don't want to do that.
So that's the next level, okay. But the trip about this level is, when you go to the level of, I am responsible for what makes me feel unhappy, and I am responsible for what makes me feel happy, then what you do is you enter into a state of mind that there is not any lack. You know why? Because you realize everything that's happening to you, you're the one that's asking for it, so you know there's nothing missing, that you're getting 100% of what you are asking for. So if my income is just $2,000 a year, that's still not a lack of money. That's as much as I was willing to create for myself. So there wasn't a lack. That was just what I wanted. Do you see what I'm saying? So everything that's happening, once you get to that level that you are that you assume responsibility 100% for how you experience in your experience, then you know there's no lacks in it, because if there is a lack, you know you're the one that's making it in your own mind. That you're the one that's deciding not to be at peace right now. So there really isn't a lack unless you decide there is. So then you go, if there's no lack, then your mind starts to create for you no lack. And then you start to receive everything you want, even at an ego level. Even our little human selves starts to receive. Your human self is going to freak out. Because your human self is going to experience it like this. Your human self is going to go, you know, it looks like things are getting better and better in my life, but I don't really know why. And I don't even think I deserve it sometimes. That's the way the human self responds to the mind being healed, and the healed mind creating physical circumstances for you now that are more loving. Your life is going to start treating you better than you know why or you know how. And you won't have any problems remembering your past, letting go of the past. That'll be the last one of your concerns, letting go of guilt or anger or grievances. Because your experience will be so full, you won't have time to be upset. So sometimes I used to wonder, where is all this heading? And then Spirit said, well, let me tell you where it's heading. But for you to even understand what I'm about to tell you, Earl, you have to be somewhat willing for it to happen, or this answer won't mean anything to you. This answer that I give you won't mean anything to you unless you're somewhat open to receiving it. And I went, what do you mean? Well, can you even open your mind up to conceive things happening so great for you that you don't understand how and you don't understand why? Can you conceive of that idea? Could you let yourself even toy with the idea of your good coming to you no matter what? Can you even let that come into your mind just a little bit? The idea that no matter what you think you've done, you've been forgiven. That no matter what mistake you think you made, you're still loved. Can you even just open, because unless you can open your mind up to that a little bit, the answer will elude you. So to be with a group of people that want to entertain that idea from a position of accountability tells me that I'm very close to a whole new level of consciousness and therefore a new world. You know that's got to be true, because there's no way you can change your mind and your physical environment not change. You better get ready for your physical environment to change for the better. And some people gonna go with you, and some people not. But you know, that's not really the way it works either. Like, you know how it looks like people leave you as you begin to try to go to this new level, and it looks like people leave you? That's not what happened. Spirit said, you know what happened? You left. You're the one that left. They didn't leave. They still where they were. You can go back and visit them tomorrow. They're still there. They'll talk about the same stuff they was talking about when you left. They'll still be talking about their mama, their daddy, their sister, their brother, who blame them. They haven't gone anywhere. You left. That tripped me out. Because that's true. Most of the people that I'm not around now aren't dead. And they're not like in Pakistan. I mean, they can't be reached. But I said, well, how come they're not around me? How come they don't come around me like they used to? How come I don't go around them like I used to? Because they don't come around me. No, I don't want to. There's not anything attractive enough about them to make me make sure I'm in contact with them. Wow, that's deep, isn't it? There's nothing about them that I want enough to call them or to go visit them. That's why I'm not around them. I don't see them as a means to help me achieve my goal. That's why I don't call them. If my goal is accountability and they're all about being a victim, they're not helping me achieve my goal. You, of course, you attracted to the people and love the people who help you reach your goals. If my goal is to be special and you treat me special, I'm going to be attracted to you because you're helping me achieve my goal of being special. Wow. Anybody have any thoughts come to them while I was talking? To add to that? Did it make any sense?
So basically, how do you expand that mind, get that willingness? Because I hear the words, and in my mind, it still seems like it's a far away thing to me. Because I'm still thinking in this.
Okay. How it would happen would be just a simple thing. Like the next time you really feel like you tried to help somebody, to tell yourself if you're still concerned about it, you know, I'm really the patient, and I really need to be letting myself be healed. I mean, that's really an act. That's an actual act that you would do. When you feel like a little frustrated right now about it seeming like it's a way, it would be for you to go, and guess what? This frustration that I'm feeling right now, this is my call for God. This is my call for love. You see what I'm saying? It's like, that's what I keep forgetting, is that the Course is always telling me what to think and what to say, and then it goes a step further and says, you don't even have to believe it. And that's the only reason why I don't say it, is I think I shouldn't say something I don't believe.
Actually, we're saying we approve it in order to believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like if I could ever get that in this stage of spiritual development, belief is not necessary. That belief is actually a block, I could move to the next level. Because it used to be, unless I believed it, it wasn't true. Now I move to a level where it's true whether I believe it or not. So what I want to get in touch with is what's going to be true whether I believe it or not. It's like me saying to my kid, don't think I love him. And whether my kid believes I love my kid or not, if my kid is in trouble, I'm going to try to help my kid. Even if my kid thinks I'm not going to try to help my kid. So my kid's belief has nothing to do with the truth. Which is, I'm going to help my kid. That's what the course is trying to get us to see. Our Creator is not playing the game we're playing. Our Creator doesn't do conditional love. We're the ones that, I'm going to help you if you're good, and I'm not going to help you if you're bad. That's our love. The Course is saying, real love isn't like that. Real love is going to help you even when you're the biggest screw-up that ever walked the earth. But we just know human love. And since we just know human love, it's hard for us to conceive of the help that we're receiving when we think we don't deserve it. And guess what? We are being helped beyond how much we thought we deserved it. We're living it right now. That's how you got this far. Something helped you, even when you were in those old insecurities and fears, even when you thought you were a victim. And you were like out there on your own. Something helped you. Something helped you enough to get to the point that now you're sitting in a circle trying to be accountable for your life. Something helped us. It certainly wasn't something we saw in the paper. And it certainly wasn't what you saw in the news. There's no logical reason why we should even be sitting here reading this stuff based on the world we grew up in. What was it that made us want to walk out of the world and go, let me look at it totally different? Have you ever asked yourself that? Why you? Why you and not your cousin sitting up here in a metaphysical class with a totally different thought system? Why you? Something has been helping us in spite of ourselves, and it's still doing it. And what it's doing is it's trying to let us know the stages that we're going to go through to get healed so that we won't freak out and we'll understand when those stages happen what's going on. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what the Course is doing. It's trying to make us aware of what you're going to go through when you're healing.
Is this supposed to be the most uncomfortable time? Because victim was a lot easier.
Really? Was it really? I know exactly what you're saying, but when I really, 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 the only thing that was was easier about being a victim was this sense of somehow having this perverted sense of innocence that came from thinking that stuff was happening to me that wasn't my fault.
Right, because now every time something happens, there's the thought, I'm creating this.
Damn it.
Right. You know, and one day, what's going to hit you one day, is, and I'll tell you exactly how it's going to be. They're giving me the picture right now. It's like it goes like this. But it might happen over months, it might happen over weeks, it might happen over years. But you go, I'm creating this. I'm creating this.
All the meaning out of it has.
Oh, I'm creating this. Well, I'm going to create this. That's what's going to happen. One day, you're going to go, then that means I can create this. You see what I'm saying? You're going to get that's true, then you could really have it any way you really want it. But in the beginning, it does feel like, it's more like blame, really. I created this. But every time you say that, you empower yourself. I don't care how depressing it sounds. I don't care how frustrating it sounds. There's never a time that you say that you don't build more power for yourself.
It feels uncomfortable.
It feels totally uncomfortable. That's,
it's not guilt. It's just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's just constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you can let yourself feel that discomfort and still continue to tell yourself, that's what makes you a master. That's what makes us a master, is that we see our ego and we feel our resistance, but we still do the right thing. That's what makes you a master. You know, I get angry, but I still don't pick up the gun and shoot nobody. That's what makes me a master. I feel my anger, but I don't let it direct my actions. I feel my depression, but I try not to let it direct my actions. But I don't hide it. I'm scared of people who are fine all the time. No matter when you see them, they always fine. How you doing? Fine. Everything is fine. But you don't feel their joy.
True.
You don't feel their joy. You don't feel anybody that's doing that well ought to be like floating around the room, levitating. You know what I'm saying? It's not. It's like that course says. What happened is he says that at some point you're gonna stop trusting your physical senses and then you'll have spiritual vision. Because your physical senses lie. You know what I'm saying? Physically, your physical senses will tell you that person is really doing okay because they said they're doing okay. Right? But the truth is, on the inside, that person could be in tremendous turmoil and pain. So your physical senses didn't show you anything but an appearance. And that's what the book keeps saying. That's all your physical eyes will ever show you. It's just the appearance. He says, but because it's an appearance, that's why you're not trapped. That's why you are free. That's why it can be changed. And that's the good news. It's an appearance. Do you want new appearances? And then everybody goes, yes, okay. Well, are you willing to learn the conditions that will give you a new appearance? And everybody goes, yeah. Well, it's a way of looking at things that's 100% opposite to the way you've been taught. It's going to ask you to question every value that you hold. Are you willing? I'll see you next time. People get up because what they want is to remain exactly as they are without the suffering it entails. Can you see that?
Yeah.
I'm going from class to class trying to find a way to be exactly the way I am without going through the stuff being exactly the way I am creates for me. Right. And until I come to the class that does that, I'm not interested. Now here's a trip part. So he says, whenever a teacher of God has tried to be a channel for healing, he succeeded. So I put it this way. Whenever you tried to be a channel for healing, you succeeded. Should you doubt that you've succeeded, you shouldn't repeat your previous effort. If you doubt that you've succeeded, now isn't that different? What does the world say?
Try again.
Try again. I loved you. I gave you all the love I had to give. I'm not going to try to repeat my previous effort. Sorry.
So I don't have to get back on the horse then.
No, I need to allow myself to be healed enough to know that if I gave it my best, then I did all I could do. You know why people don't like that? because they know they haven't given their best. But guess what? I would never want to be in a relationship with somebody that it was an effort all the time for me to give them my best. I'd rather be in a relationship or friendship with people that I am glad to give them my best because of how I feel about it. That's different, isn't it?
Not only how you feel about yourself.
Look, that's gonna be the core. Yeah, everything's gonna come out of that. I was appalled at how little I loved myself when I really got honest with myself reading this book. I was appalled at how little I loved myself. But it was the most freeing realization that's ever happened to me on the spiritual path. Because all of a sudden I saw why everything happened to me that made me unhappy. And it wasn't nobody to blame, and it wasn't nobody to forgive, and it wasn't nobody to be mad at.
How'd you go through the guilt stage of that? Because that's where I'm at. And now I'm kind of hitting myself going, you stupid idiot.
Right. You know, that because when I feel that, I go, and that's my call for love. You know, I like it. You know what I love about having one answer? I don't have to figure out anything anymore.
So you're teaching me that. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll answer again.
Yeah, I mean, think about how laser beam your mind would be if your mind put all its energy behind it, that thought, and not a bunch of thoughts, but that thought. You know what I mean? All of those, anytime you feel guilty, that's always your ego trying to preserve itself. Just remember that. Whenever you feel guilty, it never comes from God. It never comes from God. Ever. Never comes from your higher self. There's no such thing as feeling guilt correctly. There is no such animal. But the Course says we can make mistakes, right? So, yeah, it's a mistake to molest a child. It's a mistake to rob a bank. It's a mistake to mistreat your friend. It's a mistake. He says that your mind has already been programmed not to like to make mistakes, that you invested a lifetime of energy in not making mistakes. It's called wanting to be right. Right? So if you say, me making myself feel guilty is a mistake, your mind will automatically start to correct itself so that you won't feel guilty. Because your mind doesn't like to make mistakes. But let's say sin and guilt. If you say, I did that and it made me feel guilty. Really? Well, if you feel guilty, your ego is going to make you do it again. Because your ego needs to feel guilty in order to perpetuate itself. So your ego, people are addicted not because of the thing that they're addicted to. They're addicted because of the guilt that they get from doing it. I feel guilty because I drank. Well, you drank for the guilt. You didn't drink for the drink. You drunk for the guilt. The minute you stop feeling guilty, discipline yourself physically becomes child's play. It's the most amazing thing that I've experienced in my own evolution. The more innocent I feel, the less I can be tempted by anything in the physical world. Wow. I never would have thought that. I thought if I felt innocent and I thought free, I'd just run amok. I'd just go out and do everything because I'm innocent. So it don't matter what I do. It's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. When you start to feel innocent, your innocence and feeling good and feeling peaceful becomes more important than anything. So even if you saw it, if you saw that it wasn't going to give you peace or it was going to give you hell, you wouldn't do it because you don't want nothing to disturb your peace. You feel so good, you don't want nothing to mess with it. So you don't go out with a crazy woman or a crazy man because you know that would not give you peace. So if you go out with somebody who thinks that you're crazy and thinks just the opposite of you and fights everything that you said, no person who thought they were innocent would put themselves in that situation unless they knew that they could hear what that person was saying without giving it any painful meanings to themselves. In other words, I could go out with you and you could be the most negative person in the world, but I'm not giving it any power. So I don't have a problem with going out with you for dinner. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm never going to buy into what you're saying anyway to make me feel bad. But if I'm with somebody and I find myself getting plugged in, And I need to love myself enough to go the other way until I can either change my mind or change the situation. Separate to heal. Separate to heal. Because some people really trip our crazy mind. That we can be like the highest spiritual beings that we come around these people. Mm-hmm. And then we get around these people and we are appalled at how low level we get in the way that we act. You know, you say, you've been this got to reading your course book and doing it all good and done your lesson. Then you talk to her on the phone and you, I'm going to kill you. Who been there? All true, man. I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? And those people are called worthy opponents. Really. That's right. A worthy opponent is the person that you draw into your life that you have to practice everything you've learned in order to deal with them. They almost demand it. It's like every lesson the course ever taught, you have to deal with, you have to use it on them or go out your mind. They're your worthy, be so grateful for those people. They're your last portal. And you're so cool about them, for most people, it's under 10 people. For most people, it's under 10 people. Most people are being made miserable by less than 10 people.
I mean, one's doing that for me now.
But think of that.
Yeah.
There are how many billions of people on the planet? Lots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize what a level of consciousness you must be on to be down to your last person? So I'm going to stop right here. That's another way of looking at it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And isn't it true that if you were to really be honest with yourself, the unhappiness that you're giving yourself about people, isn't it less than 10 people? Think about that. That's amazing if you think about it just for a minute. This whole big world, this whole big experience, this incredible life experience that we have out here, and we have less than 10 people that we are using to keep us from being happy. And I take it a more freaky level. I bet you don't really see those people in the body that much either. Because if they don't make you feel good, you don't really go around more than you have to anyway. So I'm down to less than 10 that I'm not even around most of the time. So what does that tell me? Well, that tells me that most of the time I'm feeling bad because of something I'm telling myself about somebody that's not even there.
You mean I did this to myself?
Oh, God, not again. But Earl, out of all the people on earth, who do you have the most control over what they think? It's Earl. Wow. And Earl, you are not feeling good because of people who are not even there, but it's you that's doing it. Don't you get some glimmerings, brother, of the peace you could have if you would realize that now you've identified the problem and you also see that the answer is right next to the problem? You know, that it's you giving it the meaning, but it's also you that's giving it the meaning. So there is a way out, and you have it. And it's possible. And you got the power. Now, when you first make the realization, you're not going to be able to do it. Because the first stage is just letting yourself be with the answer. And people want to jump over that stage. What we're supposed to do today is just let ourselves be with the idea that you're right, I am upset about some people that's not there because of something I'm telling myself in this moment that's making me feel bad about them. Just be right. Don't go, and what do I do about that? That is what you do about that, is letting yourself have the recognition fully of what you're doing. That's the answer. But people don't want to do that. They don't want to just be with the idea whether they can do it right now or not. They think the minute they hear it, they ought to be able to do it. No, we just supposed to just be with these ideas even if we don't do none of them right now. I need to just be with the idea that I'm mad, but I'm the one making myself mad. Like you said, I created that. Just be with that. I created that. This is such a blessing to have you all in my life and us being willing to communicate at this level. This is a deep friggin' level we talking at, y'all. It really is. It really is. I'd have a much bigger class if I was talking about how to manifest an SUV.
You are? Right?
What's that?
You are.
I am what?
Telling us how to manifest an SUV.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Just takes a little bit of discipline.
Well, manifesting an SUV is child's play once you achieve peace of mind. It's child's play. I'm amazed that I ever thought relationships were difficult. Relationships aren't difficult at all if the two people want peace.
Can you realize that?
Yeah. If two people want peace, and they really want peace more than they want to be right and want to be on their position, they are going to have peace with each other. It is not hard to have peaceful relationships with people. It really isn't. But when you're in the in-between stage, like we are, it may seem like there's not a lot of people for you to have relationships with right now. And that's okay. That's normal. First, if you've been sleeping, pardon my French here just a minute. If you've been sleeping in a vat of shit, and you wake up, and you realize, and it's very stinky, you are awake, but you're still in some crap. You're not going to join with the crap now that you are awake. And it's mostly crap around you because you used to be about the crap yourself. What you're going to do is not condemn the crap, just get out of it. So while you're getting out of it to go where you now should be, it's going to look like you're surrounded by people that you don't relate to because they represent what you used to be and you awaken from that now. And so it'll look like when you look around you, there's nobody like yourself. And then your ego will say, well, reach in there and try to change them. In other words, I meet you at a party and I'm going to form a relationship with you and I'm going to educate you to get to the point that you can relate to me. So then I'm going to be like your truth teacher boyfriend. You know what I'm saying? We go look for the person that we think we can run our program down on. Rather than realize, no, it's time for you to bless them, release who is not like you, and start moving in the direction of the people who are like you by becoming the way you should be yourself. So you can magnetize these people like you magnetized those people when you were like them. And that's why you magnetized them. So when you first wake up, it'll look like you don't have as many friends, as many intimates, as many people as you connected to, because you are no longer on that wavelength. It's like a dial on the radio. And sometimes it feels lonely, and sometimes it feels like you misunderstood, or like people not really getting you. How do you deal with those kind of people? You're there to be a representative of the alternative. Just the way you think, if you never say a word to them, just the way you think is healing and helping them in ways you never dreamed of. Just sitting at the table with a bunch of unconscious people that you love. And I'm talking about the unconscious people that you love, not the ones you resent. Because there's plenty of people I love, and they're not into none of this. And they think they're victims, and I love them. Okay, so what do I do when I'm around those people? I become like, I hold a torch for them. I remember that you have power. I remember that you're innocent. I remember that you create your reality. I remember that God is real. I'll just think everything they should think for them. And what's weird about that, is if you really sincerely do that, you will see them be more loving toward you, and they don't even know why, and you don't even know why, but they just like you. There'll be something about you that they just like. It's amazing. It's really cool. Because that's all I really want anyway, is the love. And that's all I want you to have, is the love.
Don't you ever just want to shake them and be like, you're the victim, you're playing the victim?
Absolutely. And that's when I consider myself the patient.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's when I go, oh, you know, that's my call for love. You know, because at the time I get upset, then I see myself as being a victim of them seeing themselves as a victim. So now I'm in victim consciousness right with them, but I'm in victim consciousness, for a higher reason, so mine's different. You know, that's what this book makes you mad. I know people who throw it off of bridges and burned it up. I mean, seriously, I had one girl come into class one day with a plastic garbage bag, and she had torn all her coursebook up, and it was in the bag, and she brought it. And then at the end of the class, she went, oh, God, now I understand. She couldn't believe it. As much as that book calls, you know, you're out. You know, I know people who have thrown them off the bridges. I know people who have burned them. I mean, I've seen people react to this book in all kinds, like from the devil himself. Really, because, you know, the ego cannot stand having its control taken away. So people who need to control other people hate the truth. Don't expect the people around you who are the most insecure and want to control you to, like, want to run to a course class. Because the course class is their enemy. Because it's the course class that's waking you up to the game they've been running down on you at your request all the time. And all of a sudden you wake up to the game and you don't want to play it anymore. And then they tell you the key words. That's what you can always tell when you awaken from the game. This is what you're looking for. They're going to say, you are so selfish, all you think about is yourself. Now, if you hear that statement come back at you, then that's a person that is feeling threatened about no longer being able to control you through guilt and fear. And so they throw out this last-ditch effort to get your butt, you know, for you to do what makes you happy, which would give you something to really give to them, is somehow selfish. So y'all ready to go back out in the lab?
Let's do this.
Tomorrow at 12 noon at Unity Temple is my next class, and then Thursday at 7, and Sunday at 1 o'clock. And, of course, like I said, you know, the copies of the classes that we do are also available, because if I didn't listen back to my classes, I wouldn't even know what I said most of the time. That's why I tape them, not just to sell CDs, but so I'll know what I said. Because I go into, like I say, amnesia. It's what specifically what I said. And I listen back to it, and I go, whoa, whoa. Oh, I see why I forgot that. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Have you ever stopped something because it was working?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is mind-boggling, too. You put these ideas into motion, you start to see the results, and you'll stop.
It'll scare me to death.
Not only stop, but you blow it up.
Yeah. Not only did I stop, then I went back and blew up the thing that I built.
It's what's so uncomfortable about it. Mm-hmm. You're going along, you're chugging along really great, and then all of a sudden you just...
Feel good when that happens. You're getting closer.
Well, actually, that's been happening all your life.
That's right.
That's been happening since you've been on the planet. That you've been chugging along and then something happens.
It just seems more uncomfortable now.
Right, because now you are aware of it, so you're at the stage before being able to stop it. And that is that's what's the trip about teaching the course. I have to teach the uncomfortable material. You know, when most teachers get a chance to teach the stuff that everybody jump up and down and go, woo, yay. You know, I don't get that. I, you know, most of the time, the people in my classes look like they're in a coma. Not, I don't mean in a negative way. Most people are sitting up and they're like this.
Yeah,
they're not like thrilled, and they're not like going, you know, let's burn him up. That's, you know, but it's like, because in the Course says that's the way the ego responds to the truth. It says it in the book. The ego is going to say, go to sleep with that watch, forget about it, I don't know what the hell he said, or die. And he says the three ways we deal with stuff. We die, we forget about it, or we go unconscious. And I said, he says, you know, when you hear the truth, it's going to have that kind of effect on the ego. So then that's what keeps me from taking it personally. That's why I keep coming week after week, no matter who's there, who shows up, or how. That's why, because if I took it personally, I feel like I was the worst teacher that ever lived in terms of how many people come through my classes and how many people don't after coming through. And say they really love it, and it's the best thing they ever heard in their life, and I never see them again. If I went by appearances, I wouldn't teach. But really, everything that's happening is what the book said is going to happen, so I'm okay with that. You know, I know that the only people that are here are the people who should be. And I know that it's in divine order. My real self knows that. But, you know, sometimes the ego part that thinks it's a human being is saying, hey, buddy, you got a lot of responsibilities in the world to take care of. Then it wants to be relevant to who's there and that kind of stuff. So we always get in that choice of now, are you going to go with your higher self, or are you going to go with your ego that's scared about everything? You know? But this is, y'all, this is the big league we're in. We're in the big league, y'all. This ain't no kidding stuff we doing at all. Accountability? Responsibility? Not using guilt trips to manipulate everybody? Letting go of our scripts? What?
The past 2 years is like, fuck this.
I think we'll stop on that note right there. I think I'll make that out of an MP3.